He looked to be somewhere between 40 and 50 years old. He was wearing a black goose-down jacket and a black woolen watch cap and black gloves. He looked very cold. The 6 men with him were younger, in their 30s, maybe. They were dressed the same as him. Black down jackets, black hats, black gloves. They were normal-sized Hispanic men. Spanish, not Indian. Neither short nor tall. And they looked very cold, too. The pump truck drove around and parked close to the Boeing's wing, and the de-icer parked behind it. Both drivers got out. They had no visible reaction to the abject temperature. They were Rapid City guys. They knew about cold. They had down jackets of their own. They were both white, medium height and lean. Hard scrabble people. Rural roots, worn down to the bare essentials. Arms, legs, heads, bodies. Maybe 30 years old, but they looked 40. Maybe a couple of generations off the farm. Reacher stayed in his seat for a moment, keeping warm and watching. Plato was moving around inside a loose cordon formed by his 6 guys. No real reason for that. Maybe habit. Maybe appearances. And Plato and his 6 guys were armed. They all had Heckler & Koch MP5Ks slung around their necks on nylon straps. Short, stubby weapons, black and wicked. 30-round magazines. They rested raised and proud and prominent on the puffy coats. Butts to the right, muzzles to the left. All 7 guys were right-handed. All 7 guys had backpacks, too. Black nylon. The backpacks looked mostly empty, apart from small, heavy loads at the bottom. Flashlights, Reacher assumed, for deep underground. And spare magazines, presumably, for the guns. Always good to have. On full auto, 30 rounds came out of an MP5 in 2 short seconds. Submachine guns. A bullet manufacturer's very best friends. Reacher climbed out of the pump truck's cab, into the cold and the wind. The Rapid City guys were still doing okay with it, but all 7 Mexicans were shivering hard. They had expressions of total disbelief on their faces. They had left a balmy evening, knowing they were heading for somewhere cold, but understanding the word and feeling the feeling were 2 completely different things. Plato's gun was bouncing a little on his chest because his whole body was trembling. He was walking small, tight circles and stamping his feet. But part of that might have been plain annoyance. He was clearly tense. He had a hard, brown face, and his mouth was set down in a grimace. The Rapid City guys didn't read it right. The guy who had driven the pump truck stepped up and spread his hands and smiled what he clearly hoped was a cunning smile, and he said, "Here we are." A self-evident statement. Plato looked at him blankly and said, "And?" "We want more money." A plan, obviously. Clearly discussed and pre-agreed with his buddy. Bar talk. Irresistible over a 3rd beer, or a 4th. Show the guy the prize and then yank it back. And ask for more. Can't fail. Plato asked, "How much more?" Good English, lightly accented, a little slow and indistinct because of a cold face and the jet wine in the background. The pump driver was used to talking over jet wine. He worked at an airport, he said. "The same again."
"Double?"
"You got it."
Plato's eyes flicked across 3 of his guys and came to rest on a 4th. He asked in Spanish, which because of the cold was slow enough for Reacher to follow, "Do you know how to work this equipment?" The 4th guy said,
"I think so."
"Think or no?"
"I've done it before, with the fuel, I mean, many times. The de-icing, not so much. No call for it. But how hard can it be? It's just a spray for the wings."
"Tell me yes or no."
"Yes."
Plato turned back to the Rapid City guys. put his gloved hands on his gun and raised it up, and machine-gunned them both in the chest. Just like that. Full auto. First one and then the other. Two brief bursts of fire, barely separated at all. 9 or 10 rounds each. An impossibly fast cyclic rate. Shattering noise. Searing, vivid, foot-long muzzle flash. A hosing stream of ejected brass. The spent cases bounced and skittered away. The two guys went down in a mist of blood from their ripped bodies and a cloud of feathers from their torn jackets, first one, then immediately the other, with ragged, bloody holes in their chests, big enough to plunge a fist in. They fell side by side, dead before they hit the ground, their hearts torn apart. They thumped down and settled at once, rags and flesh, two small mounds close together. The gun smoke whipped away in the wind, and the sudden noise faded, and the jet whine came back, low and steady. 20 feet above them, the pilot looked out the Boeing's door. Reacher was impressed. Long bursts, tightly grouped. Great trigger control, great aim, and no muzzle climb at all. With gloves on, too. Plato had done this before. No question about that. No one spoke. Plato moved his thumb and tripped the release, and the part-used magazine fell out and plinked against the concrete. Then he held his hand palm up and waited. The guy nearest to him scurried around and dug down in Plato's own backpack and came out with a fresh magazine. He slapped it into Plato's waiting palm. Plato clicked it into its housing and tugged on it once to check it was secure, and then he turned to Reacher. He said, "You must be Chief Holland," Reacher said.
"Yes."
"Finally we meet."
"Yes."
"Why isn't the door open on the equipment set up for me?"
Reacher didn't answer. He was thinking, what equipment? Plato said,
"Your daughter is still under my direct control, you know."
Reacher said,
"Where is she?"
"She moved on with the rest of them. She's living her dream."
"Is she okay?"
"So far. But my threat against her still stands."
Reacher said,
"My car broke down. The equipment is still in the trunk."
"Where's your car?"
"At the other end of the runway."
Plato didn't answer directly. The sign of a good leader. No sense in fussing about what couldn't be changed. He just turned to one of his men and said in Spanish,
"Take the de-icing truck and fetch the equipment we need from the trunk of Chief Holland's car."